mini pastor, not a true pastor yet, because you're a youth pastor like me, and we don't get to be true pastors until we're senior pastors, I guess, right? No, that's not true. We are pastors to youth and to the families. And we get judged for our ministry just as much as Aaron does. So when we reach heaven, we want to make sure that we've done a good job and we're faithful to our ministry. And the hard thing about being a pastor is we get double judgment as teachers. And so pray for your pastor, because his judgment day, it might be a little bit more severe than your judgment day. And let's pray that we're on board with Jesus and what he's wanting to do with his church. So, Pastor Aaron, we appreciate your ministry. I appreciate your ministry. This message will be a Pastor Appreciation Day message. And I hope it's encouraging, but also challenging. I don't like to do messages that are just a bunch of fluff that are make you feel good. I want it to be something that's true. And sometimes truth is hard, and sometimes it's encouraging. So whatever it ends up being for you this morning, receive it from the Lord. It's from this word. And I hope it fits your ministry season, both Aaron's. We'll call you Aaron Squared, because I think you're equal footing. Church, while this is a great portion directed toward the leaders, both pastors and the elders, you have a responsibility as well. It's your responsibility to be led, to follow these pastors and these elders. It's your responsibility to keep them accountable to the way God has called them to lead. So if you see them or hear them say something that maybe isn't in line with the way and the purposes of God's church, then you speak up. And if they say, we believe this is the way the Lord is directing and all leadership is on board, then you follow. That's our job as the church, is to follow our leaders. God has directed leaders to his church. And none of us has the easy job, not the pastor, not the follower, but we have a God that can get us through it all. So open up to Joshua chapter 1. I went ahead and stole one of the Pew Bibles, because I read from a different translation for our church, and then you guys read ESV, which is, by the way, my favorite. NASB is probably my second. Joshua chapter 1, that's on page 178. Today's message title is A God-Called Leader for God's People. A God-Called Leader for God's People. Did you know that you're God's people? Do you know that? Here this morning, you sitting in the pews are God's people if you have believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are God's people. This is Jesus' church. This is not Aaron's church. This is not Aaron's church. There's two Aarons, so I get to repeat it. This is not the elder's church. This is not your church. It's Jesus' church. He's the head of the church. And so you belong to him, and he leads the Aaron and the elders, and which ultimately they get to lead you. And they will give an account for their leadership to the head of the church one day. And so this, hopefully, this morning will be an encouragement to you for how leaders are called of God and what we are called to God to do within the church. So let's open up to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 6 through 9, and we're only going to stick with those four verses. And you might say, well, there's a few verses before that. And I would encourage you to know that these verses just repeat this first five verses, but with less detail. So if you want to fact check me on that, feel free to read those verses, but it's true. It just repeats the same thing with just less detail. So verses 6 through 9, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Will you pray with me? I need prayer this morning. We need prayer this morning to receive from the Lord. Father, in this moment we surrender ourselves, we surrender our hearts to your word. Would you help us to receive from you what you would have us hear? Lord, maybe it's not necessarily something I say, but maybe it's something you speak to their hearts. Help them to receive that this morning. And I pray, don't let us walk out without wrestling with the things you would have us to hear and to respond to. God, let us wrestle with the things you want us to wrestle with. God, we need you this morning. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be here. We receive that. Lord, make your presence known among us. Manifest yourself that we might be in your presence and in your word. God, we need you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. As we dip into the beginning of Joshua, I have some helpful information. Moses is dead. That's a bummer. He was a titan among biblical leaders. He's probably like the number one guy other than Jesus that people go, Moses, that was the guy that led. He led well. But he's dead now. The people have grieved for 30 days, and we see that at the end of Deuteronomy. They grieve for Moses for 30 days. And then the Lord comes to Joshua, and he instructs Joshua, and he says, I'm going to be with you, and you're going to lead the people, and you're going to take them to the promised land, and I'm going to help you. But you're going to lead them. And this is where we come into, in the first part of this chapter here in Joshua. So like I said, verses 1 to 5, they just repeat again in verses 6 to 9. And so we're just going to focus on verses 6 to 9. And we're going to focus on some responsibilities of a God-called leader. Leaders, we are in the church as leaders because God wants us in the church as leaders. If you are an elder, youth pastor, or pastor, or any other leader in the church, you are in that position because God wants you there for that season. We see that plainly all throughout the Bible. We see that plainly in Romans chapter 13 when he talks about leaders, secular leaders, ones that maybe we don't want there, but God has put them there for a season. So, your leader is here because God wants them here. Your leaders are here because God wants them there. And we have a responsibility to lead as God would have us to. So here's our first responsibility, God called leaders. Partner with God and God's purposes for his people. Partner with God in God's purposes for his people. You got it? Partner with God and God's purposes for his people. We see this in verse 6. Look at verse 6 again. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. What is Joshua's purpose as a leader? In this, just in verse 6 here, God outlines the purpose. To lead the people into the land. What land? The land that God promised. It's God's purposes that the leaders are to be leading them into. So as leaders this morning, I chose the word very carefully, the phrase partner with God. I chose it very carefully for a reason. God almost always chooses people to exact and execute his plans and purposes. Have you ever noticed that? God can go totally without us, but he chooses to use people to bring his plans about. It's pretty amazing if you look throughout the Bible. I'll give you some examples. Moses to Pharaoh. God chooses to use Pharaoh or use Moses. Elijah to the prophets of Baal. God chooses to use Elijah. The church to the world. God chooses to use the church. And you might think, you know, that's true, but in those stories that we read in the Bible, God shows up in a very powerful way. And he does. You would be right if you think that. But I'd like you to think about this. People had to partner with God to do those mighty works. If the people did not partner with God, he would have had to choose someone else. If it wasn't Moses, and Moses hadn't reluctantly said yes, he would have chose someone else. If Elijah had stopped following the Lord and listening to the Lord, he would have chose someone else. Church, if we don't follow the Lord and the leaders the Lord gives us, he will choose someone else. Moses reluctantly agreed to God's call and obeyed, and he went to Pharaoh, and he saw God move in crazy ways because he obeyed. We got to see crazy signs that Moses got to do. Hand in the cloak, bring it out, it's gross, put it back in, it's fine. And then he got plagues. Those came from the Lord, but they didn't come from the Lord without Moses first going to Pharaoh. Moses had to obey, and then God showed up in power. Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. He prayed, and he confronted them, and then he was heard, and fire fell from heaven. If he didn't obey the Lord and confront idols, he never would have saw the power of God move. Maybe even you think about Joshua and his call here. And Joshua hears the call of the Lord, and he sends spies out, just like Moses did, and they come back and they go, we can do this. And by faith, they listen to God, and they cross the Jordan on dry land, and they go to their very first city, and they just walk around it, obeying the Lord, and they shout, and walls fall down and become ramps for them to come up and take the city. They would have never seen the power of God and the way God would deliver the city to them if they had not listened. Church, at the beginning, church had not waited on the Lord as Jesus instructed and prayed and received the Spirit, they would have never seen 3,000 people come to Jesus in that moment on that day of Pentecost. If we do not, as leaders, wait on the Lord and listen and obey, we will never see the Lord work in our church. We have to listen and obey. We have to follow our leaders. Leaders, you have to listen for the purposes of God for this church, praying together, Lord, what would you have this church be in this community, in the lighthouse? I don't know where the Lord is leading this church, but your elders and your pastors, we'll be praying and listening as the leaders and the pastors to seek the Lord for his plans and his purposes, his promises for this church. And then when we've received those, we partner with God in obedience and faith to do whatever he asks us to do. We will wait, we walk, we confront, we witness, pray a certain way if he asks us to. We shout at walls if he asks us to. And whatever God instructs, that's what we do. And we do it by faith. And then we see God move. We obey, and we see God move. It's not what we want. It's not what the pastors want. It's not what the elders want. It's not fulfilling a fulfillment to chase some ministry. It's not our praise. It's not our plans, it's God. And we partner with him and his purposes. We have a land to take. We have a community to win to Jesus. And we must listen to God on how to do that. And if we don't, we will never see him move. Do you know what this does if we listen to this first part, pastors, elders? This gives us vision for the church. That's what this is. We hear God's purposes for the church, and it gives us vision. We have something to track towards. We have goals to set to hit this vision. If the Lord says, I want you to reach the left side of the church, whatever that looks like, if that's what the Lord lays upon the elder's heart and the pastor's heart, reach the left side of the church. Cast your nets over there and go door to door knocking. And it feels really uncomfortable, then you go obey, and you have a vision, and you obey, and you see God move. People are pouring in. People are giving their lives to Jesus because you obeyed. So seek the purposes. Seek that vision. Vision focuses goals. The purposes, things we do. It gives purpose to the things we do in the church. If they don't line up with the vision, we cut them off. That's the whole point. And that leads us to our second responsibility as God-called leaders. Our second responsibility of God-called leaders is positioning and pointing the people to God-honoring practices. Positioning and pointing the people to God-honoring practices. And we see this in verses 7 and 8. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God here is pointing Joshua to some positioning that points the people to good practices. In our first responsibility, if that represented vision, the second responsibility, it represents values. It represents creating a culture in the church to support the God-given purposes for the people. I'm getting real fancy with these words. Values and creating cultures. That's real fancy for family norms. Family norms. Think about it for a moment. When you were growing up and you finally got to talk to other people, you finally got to learn how other people live lives. And maybe even today you're surprised by some folks. And you hear about, well, my family eats at the table. Well, my family eats on the couch in front of the TV. My family does this. And you start to hear weird things. That's not usual. That's not normal. My family does it this way. Your family does it that way. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? In the church, we have church norms, family norms. Those are called values. This is what we value. This is important to us. These practices, these are not movable. God is giving Joshua here practices for the people to support God's purposes. And I'm telling you that if your practices in the church do not support the purposes that God has given you, you're not supporting the purposes God has given you. We need to support it with our practices. Verse 7 says, not turning to the right hand or the left. That means we're positioned. We position ourselves to receive blessing from the Lord. This is really important. So important. You know how many times as a pastor over the last 15 years and in my time as in ministry, just in general as a Christian, that I've heard somebody say, why do we even pray? If the Lord knows what we're already going to say and what we already need, why do we even pray? I don't know if you feel that way this morning, but I'll have you know, prayer is not about desire. It's not about getting what you want. It's about positioning yourself properly before the Lord in surrender, on your knees in humility, position to receive from the Lord. If it's not to get what you want in that moment, if the Lord has something else in mind, you are in position to receive from the Lord what He has in mind, and you will humbly accept that. This morning on my drive here, in prayer for you, I was not ready to receive that word, but I was positioned to receive it because I was in prayer for you. I humbled myself and I said, Lord, whatever you would have me say, let me say it. And I was uncomfortable giving that to you, but I gave it to you, and I hope that you receive that this morning in the same way I gave it, in a position of humility, in a position of surrender. The Lord would not have you turn to the right or to the left. He would have you stay straight in practices that position yourself to receive from the Lord blessing, to receive from the Lord ways that might fulfill the purpose He has for the church. Leaders aren't to look for the newest business trends, the newest church and culture, Christian trends. We look to the Lord for what He would have the church do. Does what we are about to do support the God-given vision and purposes for our church? That's what your leaders are supposed to be praying with one another and unity with one another. Is what we're doing about to support the God-given purposes of our church. That's what we're asking and what we're praying. We don't fold to outside culture. We won't fold to inside culture. We will 100% humble ourselves before the Lord and fold to what God asks us to do. Because like Paul, we aren't trying to please people. We're trying to please God. And we see that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. As we discover our church culture, our norms, we might just, Lord, whatever you would have us do, what's the purpose of our church? Okay, that's what you've given us. What should we do to support these purposes that you would have us do in our community? Okay, Lord, these are our practices. As we discover these practices that support that, we position ourselves for blessing, and we see that in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouths." That's a practice. "But you shall meditate on it day and night." That's a practice. And then look what happens if we actually do those things. "So that you may be careful." Oh, that's a practice here. "That you may be careful to do according to all that is written." So we have three practices. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." The Lord is setting us up for blessing here. Setting up the people of God for blessing. Joshua is to point the people into three practices. The word in your mouth. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Let me ask you, what are you speaking about? Are you speaking about the things of the Lord? Are you speaking about the things of culture? Are you speaking about the things on TV? Are you speaking about... Maybe you're speaking about worries in your heart because that's in your heart. Worries and complaining in your life because that's what you care about. We speak about the things we care about. The Lord here would have us speak about His Word. We're supposed to care about His Word. Then it says, meditate on the Word. This isn't emptiness. Meditation is a biblical practice. This isn't empty your mind. This is fill it with the Word of the Lord. Fill it with the things of the Lord. And the pastor that we had before he left, Florence Lyons Church, he was there for 28 years. He would say, Pastor Bill Shutt, he uses the metaphor of cows chewing cud. I don't know if that resonates with you, being in a community that's a little more rural. But cows chewing cud, cows chew on their food for a long time, don't they? Then they swallow it and they bring it back up and they chew on it some more. And that's disgusting, but this was what we're supposed to do as Christians. We internalize the word of the Lord. Ooh, that one stuck out to me. I'm going to think about that today. We internalize it, and we think about it. We process. We wrestle. Let me ask you, has anything I said this morning, anything Pastor Aaron, there are two, right? Anything they've said this morning resonated with your heart? If there has been, chew on it. Meditate on it in your soul. Let it resonate in your soul. Don't just cast it away. The Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is here. And then we have our last practice that Joshua has commanded. Commit to obey carefully. Carefully do these things. This is why we have the first two practices. The word in our mouths. Meditating on it. Chewing it over, letting it be on our lips. And then we carefully commit to obeying this. If you don't believe me that creating a culture has God-honoring practices to support God's purposes to bring blessing to you, then I want you to think about John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This isn't to prove that you love him. And there's other things within John 14 and John 15 that talk about if we are to love God, if we are to abide in that love, we're keeping commandments, we're obeying. It's not that we're trying to prove and trying to gain love. We're trying to live in that love. We're supposed to be a people of love, and we live in that love by obeying the Lord. And that oftentimes comes from the leadership. God often speaks from the leadership. This is what the Lord would have us do, and then you obey. If it is in line with the word, we obey. And then the Lord blesses. The word here for be successful or be prosperous actually means to have an understanding and wisdom that leads to success. So we have an understanding and a wisdom. We have to understand what Aaron is talking about. We have to understand what the elders are talking about when they're leading us. And I appreciate that you dig hard in the word so that people understand. Because we have to understand it. And then when we understand it, we've chewed on it and we've internalized, it's time to make that a principle of our lives. That's what wisdom is. A principle that we can lean on and go, this is generally true about life. And then because of that, the Lord blesses it. We want the practices that support the purposes of God so that we can be positioned for blessing and allowing God to use us to accomplish his goals for this church. We have a last responsibility today in this message. Our last responsibility is the God-called leader perseveres with God's people in God's presence by God's power. And I'll say it again because that's a lot. The God-called leader perseveres with the people in God's presence by God's power. And we see that in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Is ministry hard, leaders? We'd be lying if we said it wasn't difficult. Let me ask you, pew people, church folk, is ministry hard for you? I bet it is. Life isn't easy. Jesus said we will have troubles. But he also says, behold, I've overcome the world. Church, there's a power in Jesus that we must possess. And some of us, I feel the tension. Is there any tension in the room that I haven't addressed the 3 times in the 4 verses that the word has said, be strong and courageous? Anybody feeling tense that I haven't addressed that yet? Be relieved, I'm addressing it now. The 3 times in the 4 verses, be strong and courageous, it says. Have I not commanded you, the Lord says, be strong and courageous. Well, here we go. Be strong and courageous, folks. I had to save it for this last part. I had to. This is the encouragement we need. In order to make it through these first 2 things, do you think that they faced opposition as they were entering the promised land? The first thing that they did was circumcise the adult men. So they're weakened, and now they're marching around a city silently. And then on the last time, they shout loudly, still feeling some pain. And they walk up these God-given ramps to overcome a city in pain. Ministry is not easy. There will be opposition. Taking what God has commanded us to take. We have a town to take, don't we, for the Lord? There will be opposition. And let me tell you, we will persevere in the Lord. Be strong, it says. And then it also says, be courageous. It's pretty easy to understand what it means to be courageous. Yes? Everybody understand what it means to be courageous? You rise up in boldness in the face of fear. But then it says, the first part is be strong. There's no reference to what that means. So what does it mean to be strong? Does it mean be physically strong and capable? I don't think so. I believe that the be strong here is the same be strong as mentioned in Ephesians 6. Just before it talks about the armor of God, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Are we supposed to do it on our own? No way. The last part of the verse, read verse 9 again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Why? For. What's another word for? Because. We're supposed to be all these things, strong and courageous, not terrified, not dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong in the Lord. How do we be strong in the Lord? We remember that He is with us. It is really easy to forget. It's very easy to forget the Lord is with us. God often gets on Israel's case. You've forgotten me, Israel. You're going off and doing things on your own. You've forgotten me. Folks, this morning, have you remembered that the Lord is with you? I hope you've remembered that the Lord is with you this morning. His presence, His power is with you. Remember this. His church, His mission, it's His promises, His purposes, and He will see it through. If we forget the Lord, we cast Him aside. We say, we're going to do it on our own, and then we fail. Because in not being strong in the Lord, we're being strong in us. We're not practicing the practices of the Lord that He's given us. We're practicing our own. We're saying, Lord, my way is better. And I tell you this morning, repent. Your way is not better. It's the Lord's way that's better. James 4:8 says, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. What's the first part? Draw near to God. Do you want God's presence this morning? Draw near. Is God asking you and addressing sin in your life this morning? Because sin separates us from God. This morning, the word that I believe the Lord gave me is addressing sin. Did that hit your heart this morning? Are you willing to address it? Do you want more of God? I had a college professor, college, by the way, was a long time ago. I had a college professor say to us, you have as much God today as you want of Him. How much do you want, church? How much do you want? You prove it in your practices. You prove it in your humility. You prove it in your willingness to confront sin in your life. The psalm says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And this morning we talked about you can't praise God properly unless we are reconciled with one another in unity. We can't love God properly unless we love one another. But if we are going to have God's presence, we need to pray and seek God. If we are going to have God's presence, we need to praise God. Prayer is surrender. It's positioned in humility to receive. Praise is humility to God's greatness. It brings proper perspective. I'm not great. God is. I don't have the ways. God does. It's not my power. It's God's power. And I will wait on Him as long as it takes. Psalm 25, we read this morning, says, Lord, I will wait on You. As long as it takes for You to deliver, I will wait. I will wait on You. Are you willing to wait this morning, church? Let's wait on the presence of the Lord. So, when life and ministry freak out, and it looks messy, and it looks hard, it looks like it's going to explode or implode, and the devil has come, and he's tempting, and he's crashing, and he's doing everything he can to steal, to kill, and destroy. Pray. This is not your church. It's Jesus' church. Pray. Praise. Get proper perspective. It's not the situation that's in charge. It's Jesus that's in charge. It's His power. Bring the positioning for the presence. Bring the positioning for the presence. It's God's job to vindicate you. It's God's job to deliver you. It's God's job to be fruitful. It's your job to persevere in faithfulness. Seeking the Lord in everything. It's God's job to be faithful or fruitful. My favorite verse for ministry, this has been my ministry verse for as long as I can remember. I picked it right up as a teenager because I'm like, I need this. This brings proper perspective to me in my ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. Minister, leader, pastor, other ministry leaders, you are in it for a season, whether it's to plant or to water. But that's all you do. If you have any success, you better be praising God with tears in your eyes that God decided that your faithfulness would be rewarded with His fruitfulness. Our job is to be faithful. His job is to be fruitful. His job is to be fruitful. Let me ask you, are you seeing fruitfulness in your ministry this morning? If you're not, let me ask you about faithfulness. Are we being faithful? Are we persevering in the purposes of God and the practices of God that He would have us do, in the vision He's given, and the values and the church norms that He's lined up for this church? Church, remember your responsibility this morning to your God-called leaders. Let them lead you and keep them accountable to the leading toward God's purposes. But I want you to remember this morning, as humbly as I can, to warn you. What happens if we say no to the leadership God has given us? What happens if we rebel against the leadership God has given us? I don't like that leader. He's not doing it the way I want him to. I don't like that leader. She's not doing it the way I want her to. What happens in the Bible when God's people don't obey the leaders God has given them? It never ends well when the verses say the people did what was right in their own sight. Never ends well. That phrase happens a lot for Israel, and shortly after comes the wrath of God. People of God, don't do what's right in your own sight. Do what's right in the Lord's sight. Follow your leaders. Humble yourselves. If he or she is not doing it right, pray for them. If he or she is not doing it right, Matthew 18, them. Go to them and say, Pastor, leader, I'm not sure. I don't feel like you're doing it right and you're offending me. And then let's sit down and have a conversation about it. That's how we're supposed to handle ministry according to Jesus. That's what Jesus gave us. Church, we have a responsibility to follow our leaders. Leaders, we have a hefty responsibility to be listening to the Lord for His purposes and His practices, so we're positioned to receive blessing, so we're positioned to see success. I forgot my book. Brittany, will you bring my book, please? This morning, as I wrap up, I'm going to read you two prayers. And the reason I'm reading the prayers and not just praying prayers, I've read a book on prayer that encouraged folks to read old school. Thank you, love. And for my wife, thank you. All right, thank you. She did great. Don't fall. We'll clap for her when she reaches the bottom. She did it. So here we go. I read a book on prayer that talked about reading prayers from saints in the past. And this is why. We don't know how to pray. Romans 8 says we don't know how to pray. And if you're like, I know how to pray, well, read Romans 8. You don't. We need to learn. So as we learn, it's good to read prayers from saints. It's good to read prayers from the Word. And so that we have some training wheels to go with our prayers. And then as we learn how to pray, start to learn how that's shaped and formed, then we can start doing our own thing based off of what we've learned. So this morning, in honor of that, I want to read you two prayers from this book, Prayers Through the Centuries. And this first one is from the year 544. This is old. Some of you are like, I'm old. No, you're not. This is old right here. Okay, you ready? Four ministers. God, you are great in power, unsearchable in understanding, wonderful in your plans for us. Fill your servants with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they may stand before your holy altar blameless, to announce the gospel of the kingdom, to administer the word of truth. To offer gifts and spiritual sacrifices to you, to renew your people in the font of rebirth, that when your only Son, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, comes again, by your mercies, they will receive your reward. For your holy and majestic name is blessed and glorified. Amen. Excuse me. Our last prayer. Eternal Father, you are the light of our minds, our light of the minds that you know, or that know you. Excuse me, I'll start over. Eternal God, you are the light of the minds that know you, the joy of the hearts that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you. Grant us to know you, that we may truly love you, so that to love you, that we may fully serve you. And to serve you is perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pastor.